This meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will now come to order. It is 10:18 a.m. on Thursday, March 12th, 2026. We are in Capitol Room 124. Our members present today are Representative Gray, Representative David Nelson, Representative Hall, Representative Fields, and myself, Representative Eichheide. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please remember to silence your cell phones for the meeting. I'd like to extend a thank you to Cal Brown from House Records and Zachary Lawhorn from the Juno LIO and my committee aide, Aaron Callahan, for staffing the meeting today. We have one item on the agenda today, House Bill 363, an act relating to the sale of alcohol relating to the sale or dispensing of alcoholic beverages by patriotic organizations and providing for an effective date by Representative Stutes. This is the first hearing of this bill. Here to present is Representative Stutes and her staff, Jane Pearson. Welcome. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us an overview of the bill. And then just for everyone's awareness, we will have invited testimony from two other folks. And for the record, Representative Dan Sadler joined us at 10:19 a.m. Thank you, sir. And Representative Stutes, when you are ready, please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Eichheide and members of the committee. I appreciate it. My name is Louise Stutes, and I represent House District Number 5, which is Kodiak, Cordova, Seward, and a multitude of small coastal villages. So, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to present House Bill 363. Chair Eichheide and members, patriotic organizations are nonpartisan, not-for-profit organizations committed to preserving, promoting, celebrating national pride and advocating for veterans, soldiers, and their communities. The American Legion was the first patriotic organization in America, chartered and incorporated by Congress in 1919 after World War I. Its role was to advocate for veterans and to work towards securing veteran benefits like the GI Bill and establishment of the VA healthcare system. The Alaska Department of the American Legion was incorporated in 1953 in Cordova to serve the territory of Alaska. Today, patriotic organizations still thrive. They remain committed to their original missions while also offering programs and activities that strengthen their communities. Patriotic organizations in our state sponsor youth sports programs, advocate for patriotism and honor, promote national security, and continue their devotion to fellow service members. Patriotic organizations provide a unique place for soldiers, veterans, their families, and guests to socialize by providing a community space such for Alaskans and all veterans. The impetus for House Bill 363 came from American Legion Post 5 in Seward, Alaska. What House Bill 363 does is three different things. First, it allows patriotic organizations to sell alcoholic beverages to members other than patriotic organizations incorporated under Alaska's Nonprofit Corporation Act and possessing a club license under Title IV. This change allows for better parity between veterans and active duty military. Currently, active duty military personnel under AS 0409220D, Section 3, may be served alcohol in patriotic organizations, whether they are members or not. I'm going to relook that up here. That didn't make quite sense to me. Um, They may be served alcohol whether they're members or not, but they must be signed in by a member in order to be served alcohol if they are in a patriotic organization. And I know that from personal experience. Currently, veterans who are members of another patriotic organization cannot transfer. So if you're a member of the VFW, you cannot show your VFW card and go into an American Legion when you're not an active service member. It's a little bit different if you're an active service member. Then you're eligible to enter any of the above. It also, House Bill 363 also will allow when there is a function going on at, say, the American Legion, and it's they have their appropriate caterers licenses, and so they're open to the public. Even if you are not a member and you attend this function, you will only be able to be served beer and wine. You are not eligible to be served spirits. And House Bill 363 will, in fact, allow the serving of spirits at that time as well. It focuses on making patriotic organizations more congenial and welcoming for active military personnel and their guests to feel like they're part of the family, and having all the same privileges when they have an open function to the public, such as spirits. As we all know, the success of these type of organizations depend on the active membership. And so by allowing 363 to go forward, it creates a will to want to participate, as opposed to being excluded when it comes to the serving of your beverages. I'm kind of skipping around here. This is really a bill that addresses our veterans and trying to encourage the participation in our veteran organizations by creating a level playing field for not only the veterans, but their guests when they have the appropriate public function taking place. And with that, I will turn it over to Jane Pearson, my committee aide, to go through the sectional.
Thank you. Yes, please identify yourself and put yourself on the record and proceed.
Chair Eichheit and members of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, for the record, my name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Louise Stutes, and I now will walk the committee through the sectionals and answer any questions the committee may have. Section 1, which is page 1, lines 4 through 13, allows patriotic organizations to serve alcoholic beverages to members of another patriotic organization. In Section 2, which is page 1, line 14, through page 2, lines 1 through 5, grants patriotic organizations the ability to dispense all alcoholic beverages in addition to beer and wine in their permitted space under an event permit. Section 3 is page 2, lines 6 through 10. It's conforming language to AS04-09-660A, found in Section 2. Section 4 defines patriotic organizations to include but not be limited to the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the American Veterans Organizations. And I did talk to Ledge Legal about this, and they said this language would also include any other patriotic organization that would qualify for a nonprofit and the liquor license, as if there was a new one to come along. Section 5 is a repealer, and this repeals language that was put into statute last year. It called for reciprocity agreements between patriotic organizations before they could serve a member of another patriotic organization. This takes out that there has to be a reciprocity agreement because it meant you had to get your whole board, your membership, and everybody together, and it was just a really high hurdle. So this would just say, yes, you may serve another patriotic, a member of another patriotic organization. There is a repealer in this bill, and I don't know if anybody actually looked it up, but because it got changed last year, you can only find it in the ALS, and so I've included that in your packet, because otherwise it looks like we're repealing the wrong part of statute. And Section 6 provides for an immediate effective date.
Okay, thank you. And for the bill sponsor, would you like to entertain questions now and then go to your invited testimony?
Certainly. Whatever you prefer, Chair Eichheit.
I see there's some immediate questions. So, Representative Fields?
I'll actually wait till after invited testimony. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else with a burning question before we move to invited testimony? Representative Gray?
Thank you. Through the chair, my questions are about, I guess, why the restrictions were there in the first place, if you know. Why is it that there's a restriction on the different patriotic organizations being able to buy, and why, when they have an event, was it only wine and beer that could be served to non-members?
Representative Gray, through the chair. I have no clue. I mean, it's kind of a crazy deal. And it's been a problem for the Legions, and it's particularly a problem for the bartenders as well. Because when you have a function and somebody comes up and says, I want two rum and cokes, well, bring the other person up here so I can make sure they're a member. I need to see their card. Even though it's a public function, it's really disabling to the efficiency of the bartender, frankly, during a function. But why that initially transpired, I'm unaware. We do have a bar manager for our invited testimony from the Seward American Legion who requested this. They may have a clue.
Follow up. Through the chair, I'm going to guess about the first part about allowing a patriotic organization to serve alcoholic beverages to members of another patriotic organization. I'm guessing that maybe there was a period from the 60s, 70s, 80s when these organizations were doing very well and were competing with each other. And so you wanted somebody to have to buy a membership at the VFW. Like if they were an American Legion member and they qualified for the VFW, they needed to pay to have a membership to be there. And I mean, I'm just guessing that there might have been competition between the organizations, and that's why they had this restriction. And that nowadays, with all of the organizations not doing as much business, maybe they don't need the competition, they need cooperation.
Representative Gray, through the chair, I would tend to agree with you just based on where I live in Kodiak. We used to have a very active VFW, and now it's not so much. But our American Legion is still somewhat prospering, and so I would agree with you. It's demand.
Thank you.
Representative Gray, through the chair. I could probably offer a little bit more insight to that question. Just that these patriotic organizations were founded under the club licenses, and so it was never a separate. They're written under the club licenses.
Follow up. So, and this is just me understanding this part of law. They're not really like a for-profit bar. They're a club that's selling alcoholic beverages as part of. I'm glad you're saying that because I'll full disclosure. The only time I've gone to the American Legion has been with the sponsor of the bill.
Wasn't that fun? Yes, it was in your district. But
yeah, so
please.
You made me lose my train of thought.
I was talking about clubs and the difference. It's not a bar. It's not a for-profit bar.
It actually is because Representative Gray, through the chair, pardon me. It is for profit in the respect that it supports the other activities that those organizations provide. Food for their veterans, transportation for veterans, airfare. Well, I'm speaking obviously from Kodiak now. If there's a medical situation, airfare for our veterans. So it is having owned a bar in Kodiak myself, it is a for profit. They charge maybe a quarter less per drink, and that's why it's member only. Show your ID, because it is for profit, and the other establishments are saying, wait a minute, you can't just walk through that door because you live in this town. You know, that's a club that people earned privileges to enter. And for a while in Kodiak, it was an issue, which it is no longer, of course. Anyway.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Stutz. Just a little question. What is the cost for an active duty or a veteran to join a patriotic organization? What's the membership initiation fee or annual fee? Any idea, or can anybody on the committee answer that?
Thank you, Representative Sadler, through the chair. I can tell you this. For a auxiliary member, which I am, my father was in the military and my husband was in the military. And for me, it is, in Kodiak, it is $40 a year to be a member of the auxiliary. And Stormy is a member, and his dues are $75 a year.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Fields?
Just following up on Representative Gray's question, I just wanted to provide clarity. Yes, the organization is nonprofit, and I think Representative Stutz's point is for the organization to survive as a nonprofit, the operations of the bar are essential. The bar essentially subsidizes all the other very beneficial functions of the nonprofit.
Well said, Representative Fields.
Thank you for that context. Any further questions before we go to invited testimony? Representative Sandler.
I'm going to ask thank you to the chair, President Stutz, a philosophical question. Does this tend to blur the lines between the different patriotic organizations? Just like Band-Aid, the brand name became a name for any adhesive bandage. I hear VFW is kind of the term used for any patriotic organization. Do you think the effect of this bill, if passed, would be to blur those lines and to kind of erase some of the distinctions between the Legion and the VFW and the Veterans of Foreign Wars? I'm sorry, I'm confusing the names. But see?
Right. Representative Sadler, I have never found, if I understand your question correctly, I've never found any conflict or dissension between the different organizations. I know that speaking for Kodiak's American Legion, it doesn't matter what branch of the service you were in. If you're a member, you're a member, and they're doggone happy that you stopped by. So I think, if anything, this makes it easier to reinforce that by saying, oh, you're a member of the VFW? Come on into the Legion. You're one of us. I think it really enhances a relationship.
Follow up?
I have two follow-up questions on different lines, if I may. In looking, do you think, how do I frame this question? Why limit the reciprocity only to special event permits? I can see this as being a step halfway towards providing complete reciprocity, not limited by the permit. And it sounds like there may be an answer prepared here.
Representative Sadler, through the chair. I think we're...
And just identify yourself for the record.
Jane Pearson, for the record. Thank you. I'm sorry. I think what we're finding here is we're confusing two different things. This bill would allow for veterans to enter the bar, veterans who belong to a similar organization to come into the bar at any time. The second part of the bill is the event permit, and that does not, limit, because you're holding a special event. It would be within...
Representative Sadler, I think I interpreted your question a little bit differently. Would you rephrase that question, please?
Yeah, my question was, and perhaps through the chair, Ms. Pearson's comments may have illuminated part of my question. My question is, if allowing consumption of alcohol to visitors of another patriotic organization who's been under reciprocity. Why limit that only to events, some of the event license, unless the event license is the sole license under which the patriotic organization can serve liquor? The point I'm saying is, why not allow entire, not just entire
it
events?
Would. This bill would allow any military organization, if I go in and I take Miss Pearson as my guest on a Tuesday afternoon and nothing's going on, she then will be allowed to order whatever she wishes. But as a non-member, she can have beer or wine.
Okay. Thank you. There's some subtleties that are kind of hard to get through. Okay.
Did you have an additional question, Representative Sadler?
I did, and I might want to ask some of the invited testimony. Yeah. I guess that this is some of a cynical question. How much enforcement effort is there at patriotic organizations? Certainly from the bartender's perspective, you have a legal obligation to know who you're serving and under what conditions. But how tightly is it policed, I guess, is my question.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, from my perspective, and it isn't just in veterans organizations, very tightly. Your liquor license is very, very valuable. And you are putting your liquor license in jeopardy by not policing it for whatever the rules are. It's a very dangerous road to go down. And so it's policed. And we also, as I say again, for our invited testimony, we have the bar manager for the American Legion in Seward. And so certainly he may be able to add more information to this.
Yeah. So without objection, I'd like to move to invited testimony, and because I have some questions myself, but I do know one of our testifiers has a hard 11 a.m. stop. So we're now here, the invited testimony. I believe we have Justin Mills with the American Legion Online. And Mr. Mills, I believe, is from Anchorage. Mr. Mills, please identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, this is Justin Mills. I am the commander of Jack Henry Post 1 in Anchorage, Alaska.
Please proceed, sir.
Chair Eichfeld and members of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. My name is Justin Mills, and I'm speaking on behalf of American Legion Post 1, which has been in Anchorage, Alaska since 1919, making Post 1 one of the oldest veteran service organizations in Alaska. Our mission is clearly to support veterans, military families, and our local community through programs that include veterans assistance, memorial events, youth programs, and community service initiatives. Our post is located in the heart of Anchorage, which provides us with a unique opportunity to serve both veterans and the broader community. Over the past 5 years, our organization has invested significant volunteer time and resources into improving our property, particularly our backyard event space, to create a welcoming environment where we can host community gatherings, veteran events, and fundraising activities. House Bill 363 makes two particular updates to help patriotic organizations like ours continue serving veterans in our communities. First, the bill allows patriotic organizations such as the American Legion and the VFW to serve members of other patriotic organizations who hold club licenses without requiring that formal reciprocity agreement between their posts. Veterans travel frequently throughout Alaska, and this change simply allows them to be welcomed at other veteran organizations. Second, the bill allows patriotic organizations to serve liquor in addition to beer and wine during special events. Think of Memorial Days, 4th of July, big patriotic events held under a permit of our licensed premises. Events like these are often critical fundraisers that support our veterans assistance programs, youth activities, and community outreach. Patriotic organizations like the American Legion are nonprofit and volunteer-driven, and the resources raised at events go directly back to supporting other veterans and community programs, not private businesses. House Bill 363 helps ensure that organizations like ours continue to use our facilities to support veterans and strengthen our community while operating within clear state law. On behalf of the American Legion, Post 1, I respectfully ask that you support House Bill 363. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. I'm going to start out with a question for you. I had had a question about special events, and what I heard you say was, things that happen on, you know, major holidays like July 4th. Can you tell me about a specific event that your post sponsors?
Yes. So Memorial Day right now is currently our biggest event that we do. We've actually found ways to coordinate with some partners such as New Vision. Usually it starts on Saturday and we go to the downtown Anchorage Cemetery and do a big community event cleaning the gravestones. And then on Memorial Day itself, we have a big backyard barbecue. We end up, like, basically we have a big, fantastic backyard. We have a new stage. We have a band. And it's kind of the chance to celebrate Americanism, as how we kind of view it, and to honor those that have passed. So that's usually kind of, we're pretty much one of our biggest events. And we basically, we have right now how it's currently set up, we have our backyard and everybody has to come in. We have essentially somebody has to sign in, and then, you know, we kind of control our administration through that. So that's where kind of like our ID check and everything comes. So it gets a little complicated and murky.
And as a follow-up, so my understanding is this bill would allow at a special event like this for a member of the public to be served spirits along with beer and wine. Is that your understanding as well, sir?
That is my understanding. And I think it's just the nice thing about it. Sometimes in the backyard, it doesn't make sense, but it gives the opportunity. Specifically, like, once people come in and they come through, like, there is access to our inside bar. And sometimes that, you know, being able to regulate people as they go inside gets a little confusing. So, like, it's very easy to have our bartender in that backyard be able to kind of maintain, like, oh, we only have beer and alcohol, or beer and liquor, beer and wine in the backyard. But then if they, oh, they go inside to go to the bathroom, and they go see the bartender inside where you have a full bar, how do you maintain the difference?
Yeah, understood. Are there any additional questions for Mr. Mills? Representative Fields.
Thank you. So through the chair, first of all, thank you to Mr. Mills for showing me around Post 1 and talking about how modernization of the post will support veterans. I think one thing that is not immediately evident from reading the text of this bill is that supporting veterans organizations as they modernize actually goes way beyond a bar, way beyond service of alcohol. It's actually about helping these posts be more of a community center for events, which is beneficial to veterans and the broader community. So this post is on the border of my district. It would be extremely beneficial in downtown. And Mr. Mills, I was hoping you could just talk about you and other leaders of the post vision for modernizing the post, having really a diverse array of activities way beyond a bar to sustain the organization through demographic change and be an important player in the community. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Representative Fields. To answer your question, so our focus, you know, the American Legions and the fraternal organizations, I would say we kind of have had a little bit of an identity crisis as the different veterans have come through. So I'm a post 9/11 veteran, so definitely younger. And so with my membership, I could qualify for the VFW and the American Legion. So that's, I know it was talked about earlier, but each member organization has a little bit of different requirements with it be deployed or certain membership requirements. But the big focus we all have is how do we help with, like, veteran suicide. So that's one of the big focuses our post has. And what the bar, or we call it a canteen, does, it essentially just operates to kind of help us cover our overhead. Since we are a pure nonprofit, so we don't have any government funding coming in, we're trying not to do grants. So we essentially raise revenue through running the bar and then pull tabs. And what that allows us to do is sponsor events, donate to special causes. So prime example, this past September, we had a, in coordination with the VA, we had a mental health awareness day at our post where we have a big upstairs and we had 80 people come in with the VA and had a day completely dedicated to mental health. So trying to really kind of, obviously the canteen or the bar is kind of the heart of it, but how do we use those funds to, you know, modernize our organization and make it a place that younger veterans want to go? So one of the big focuses we have, and we have a downstairs space that we're really trying to, like, turn into, like, a more of a community center kind of for younger veterans, the gaming, the electronic gaming, like just being able to play like Call of Duty and stuff along those lines, and make it a place not just for individuals that want to come and drink, but just a real community center.
Follow up.
Thank you through the chair. Yeah. So one of the cool things about Post One for people who haven't been in there is there's a bar, but there's an an area where, you know, on an average night, veterans are playing cribbage and other games and interacting with each other. They might not be drinking anything at all. And when it comes to combating suicide, obviously social connections are the most important thing, maintaining that sense of community. So I hope as members look at this bill, there's an understanding this is really not about alcohol at all. It's actually about building community and strong support for veterans. And this bill is essential to that, looking at the economics of these organizations, but it goes so much farther than a bar or a canteen. And I appreciate Mr. Mills for articulating that.
Thank you, Representative Fields. I really appreciate that context. You know, we hear the word alcohol, we think of a bar, but I really appreciate this idea of a community center and people socializing and getting together. So further questions for Mr. Mills? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Mills, if you can just stick online in case there's some other questions. Next, we're going to go to, I believe, Mike Calhoun with the American Legion. Mr. Calhoun is from Seward. And Mr. Calhoun, please identify yourself, your affiliation for the record, and please proceed with your invited testimony.
Thank you, Chair Eichheit and members of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. My name is Michael Calhoun. I am the club manager and the second vice commander of American Legion Post 5 in Seward. The second vice commander position is the position that is responsible for operation of the facility and as opposed to the bar, what we like to call the social area. That American Legion Post 5 has been in Seward since 1919. It is one of the five original American Legions that were given their charters in 1919 when the American Legion was founded. And at this point in Seward's history, it is the only patriotic, civic, or fraternal organization that actually has its own facility. And so we are a major player when it comes to taking care of the community, holding events, and particularly taking care of our veterans. And I won't repeat all of the things that Mr. Mills said because our goals are very similar. And I would be happy to answer any questions about HB 363. And I think I can give a little bit of clarity in some areas, and the reason that the statutes that are in place today were put there.
Okay, thank you, sir. Are there any questions for Mr. Calhoun? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for the brief absence here. But Mr. Calhoun, I'm just curious, the current law requires a reciprocity agreement, kind of a one-off codicil, for the things to happen the way this bill would make them happen. In your experience, has that reciprocity agreement provision ever been used? And if so, how did it work for you or not?
In my experience here, that reciprocity agreement has not been used. My thought is that it's very difficult to get a written agreement from each organization. And so we have not used that process here at Post 5.
Okay. If I may, just two more lines.
Follow up.
Thank you. Just to, through the chair, Mr. Calhoun, to probe the market, how many different patriotic organizations are in existence, whether their own facility or not, in Seward, just to help me understand the landscape?
In Seward, we are the only patriotic organization. The other nonprofit organizations that we deal with are Pioneers of Alaska, and that is a fraternal organization for individuals that have lived in Alaska for 30 years or more. There's a Rotary Club. There's the Elks Club no longer exists here, and the VFW that was here in the early 80s no longer exists here.
Okay. And another point, if I may, you know, mm-hmm. If you could help socialize, I'm not a veteran, did not serve, and don't drink in places, but although my band has played at various American Legions and VFWs around the state, including Post One, and so I have some experience, but if you could kind of, for the record, lay out the policing, the enforcement, the degrees to which the liquor licenses are protected and the policing of bartenders or club managers. I want to make sure I understand the environment there.
Well, the American Legion is a private club, and by statute, we are only allowed to serve alcohol and accept payment for that alcohol from members of the American Legion, which also includes the American Legion Auxiliary and the Sons of American Legion. There are three organizations in the American Legion family. And all of our bartenders go through the alcohol professionals training and get their CAPS cards. And so they're aware of the liquor laws. And I make sure that they are trained to understand the laws concerning a private club. And so we self-police as far as who we allow to come in, who we serve, who we take money from. And then from time to time, the alcohol enforcement people will also come and do checks on our operations and how we're doing things.
Go ahead.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'm just trying to establish for the record that there is good enforcement and that the Legions and the VFWs, patriotic organizations, do put forth significant efforts to make sure the liquor licenses, liquor laws, however they stand, are enforced. So I want to get that I respect that and think they're doing a good job on that.
Okay. I did want to make for everyone aware on the committee that we do have Kevin Richard, the director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, online for any specific questions that you might have for Mr. Richard. I did have a question. I'm not sure if this is for the sponsor, but the bill says that this is for patriotic organizations, and of course, right away, I think, what is a patriotic organization? And it defines it, you know, VFW, American Legion, American Veterans, but it says it's not exclusive to those. So I'd like to get more about the range of what is considered a patriotic organization and how one gets classified that way for purposes of this bill.
Representative Eichheit, Chair Eichheit. For the record, Jane Pearson. It can be found in AS 0409-220, which defines a club license. And one of the things it talks about is a state or national organization must be in existence for 10 consecutive years before application for a license under this section. So a Johnny Come Lately could not just get one of these licenses. The other thing is a national organization that has maintained a charter club or organization in the state must be there for at least 20 years. So these are not brand new organizations. They are established.
So I appreciate that, because I don't have the statute right in front of me. I guess I hear the time dimension. There's many organizations that are proud patriotic organizations. What other criteria would be used to define who these organizations are that would qualify for under this bill? I guess I'm looking more than just time that they've existed, because it's an opportunity for organizations to make some money to support programs. But I think I would like to know just what kind of organizations out there might qualify that are not easily identifiable, like VFW and such.
Chair Eichheit, this is Jane Pearson. I think your best answer to that will come from AMCO and Mr. Richards.
Okay. Mr. Richard, did you hear my question about how a group would qualify as a patriotic organization?
For the record, this is Kevin Richard with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. The definition of patriotic organization that was read off is what we would use when considering a license application. I believe it is defined somewhere in Title 10 as well, but I would have to go in and look.
Yes, if you could provide that additional nuance, I would appreciate that. Representative Stutes, it looks like you'd like to address this.
Chair Aisha, thank you. I was just going to say we would follow up with this committee.
Yes.
And we will provide you with the information so you can provide it to the committee.
Yes, and again, my context is really, you know, I think most folks recognize VFW, American Legion, classic patriotic organizations. But you know, my fear is, can anybody, meeting the time requirements? I mean, what are the criteria so I can better understand who might qualify? Representative Stutes?
Chair Aisha, I'm sure that the key phrase is patriotic. And so that's what we would have to, we will have to get back to you on to see if there is a specific definition that, but they would have to qualify as a patriotic organization in order to have this bill applied to them.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Chair Aishad. So in that same vein, I'm just reading in the statute in section 04.09220 that this section of regulation about alcohol applies to clubs, fraternal organizations, patriotic organizations, social organizations. So in other words, she's, from my understanding, the bill is really just is expanding the ways that the patriotic organizations work. But this law applies to any, I guess, organization that is able to run a bar. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I also just want to say for the record that having to have operated for 20 years to be able to do it, I think, is a pretty high bar. You know, in other words, like, I don't think someone's going to spring up and be like, oh, I want to be able to do this. I'm going to create an organization, a patriotic organization, because I want to get in on this action too. Well, I mean, you could do it, but if you started today, it would be 2046 when you could start to sell alcohol.
Yeah, I think the context of my concern was, you know, there's some radical organizations out there that I think if you went to their website, they've been around for 20 years. And they might say, oh, well, we're patriotic and we have a lot of veterans and let's get in on this. So that's why I just want further nuance. You know, what is the rubric for deciding this? Representative Stutes?
Chair Aisha, I appreciate what you're saying. We certainly could tighten up the definition if need be. But again, having been a liquor license owner, it isn't like you can just buy a liquor license, and it isn't like you just have access to a liquor license. Even if I found one, I have to qualify to purchase that license. So it's owning a license has its own inherency of the definition.
Thank you. That's very helpful. That helps me kind of see this 1-2 aspect of this. Representative Sadler, did you have a question?
Thank you. A different line, but yeah. This is a question for Mr. Richard of AMCO. Just curious, sir, if through the chair, Mr. Richard, if this bill, if passed, would that create any problems? Or I guess I'm just asking your opinion of the bill. Would it create any problems or ease your operations? Or what do you think the effect of this bill would be?
Through the chair, this is Director Richard of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, for the record. AMCO's reviewed this bill, and we don't see that it would cause any problems either administratively or for enforcement.
Thank you. That's good.
Representative Gray?
Thank you. To the chair, I think I'm just, again, reading the statute, and I understand. Like, it says that when we talk about active duty, it says in statute, valid active duty military identification card issued by the United States Department of Defense or the United States Department of Homeland Security. I assume it, because Coast Guard is under Homeland
Correct.
Security. But do ICE agents get to come? I mean, like, is that an active duty? I'm just curious if they get to go into the
Representative Stutes.
Representative Gray, through the chair, I would say that that is not considered military duty.
Thank you.
Yeah. Therefore, no.
Yeah, my thinking would be that's federal law enforcement. But Representative Stadler, did you have something to...
No, I was simply going to say I don't think so, that there's definitions of armed services, uniformed services, and I don't think the police, I don't know the status of ICE today, it could change tomorrow, but at this point I do not believe that's the case, if I may answer Representative Gray's question.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Gray and Chair Eichheit, I think that the intent is... The community outreach that these organizations have and getting our young people, our younger people, actively involved, and as was so beautifully pointed out by Representative Fields, allowing them a place to go when they're feeling despondent and they need a friend. That's huge.
Any final questions for the sponsors or our folks online? Seeing none, Representative Stutes, would you like to make a final statement?
Chair Eichheit and committee members, I am very appreciative to the opportunity to present this bill. And, you know, our main intent is to facilitate our veterans and allow our veteran organizations to continue on helping out the communities in which they're established. So that's the intent of this bill, and I'm very grateful to have had the opportunity to present to you today, and I want to thank our testifiers, our invited testifiers as well.
Yes. Thank you to Representative Stutes, a bill sponsor. Thank you to our invited testifiers. And Mr. Richard for assisting us. That concludes our agenda for today. We're going to just set this bill aside, but just a preview of next week. On Tuesday, we're going to hear public testimony on House Bill 363, and then we will meet again on Thursday to potentially move that out. Representative Fields.
You answered my question. Thank you.
I anticipate nicely. So, with that, this meeting stands adjourned at 11:05 a.m.
Thank you.